Wednesday, the 1st of July, Tes Tammuz, Vavei Dovid Zan, Parshas Bolok, there's more to it than meets the eye.
Morning, Shalom Aleichem. Thank you for inviting me again. I think there's no danger of everyone falling asleep at this time of day. I think this is why it's the best.
I wouldn't have thought so, anyway.
Perhaps if you don't have a seeker, I don't know.
Well, there's more than meets to it than meets the eye, as we'll soon see. And nowhere is this better illustrated in the parasha. Vayar Bolok. Bolok saw, what did he see? Es kol asher osa Yisrael le'emayri. He saw, he witnessed Klal Yisrael's miraculous victory over Sichon Ve'og. He saw it. What does it mean he saw it? He saw it on television, he read it in the paper, he saw it, he heard about it probably. Was he there? But when he was overlooking, he happened to be in Cheshbon or wherever it was, where the battles took place. What does it mean he saw it? Rashi Be'emus, the first Rashi in the parasha, Parashat Bolok, Rashi is disturbed by this. Rashi comes along, and Rashi said, Omar, makes a comment, Elu shnei melochim shayinu betuchim aleihem, the two kings in whom we placed our trust, lo yomdu bifneihem, they couldn't stand up. Sichon Ve'og, our great protectors, the regional superpowers, they couldn't protect us. Anu alachas kama v'kama. So, l'fikach v'yogav moyov, is Rashi translates v'yah bolok, not the bolok saw, physically saw, he perceived, he understood, he made a cheshbon. Be'emes, Sichon Ve'og, Moyov wasn't under attack at the moment, but Bolok made a cheshbon. If Sichon Ve'og could not stand up to Moshe, to Klal Yisrael, then what's going to be with us? So v'yah bolok understood, not that he actually saw. And Be'emes, when Farshim asked the question, Vayah Bolok, this is a straightforward cheshbon. Only Bolok saw, the whole of Moyov saw. Is Vayah Bolok, Vayoga Moyov. It seems Bolok understood this, and he went out telling everyone, you've got to do something about it. And he, it's Aleph Beis, it's simple. Why would only Bolok understand? So the Ramban actually writes that Moyov, so somehow or other, were aware that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told to Klal Yisrael, to Moshe, Al Totsares Moyov. Bosco says later, Al Totsar in the Pashas Weshanan, don't trouble Moyov, don't attack Moyov, because the Moyov will come out, Rusham Moyov, Yov, and Namu Amoyov, is not allowed to attack Moyov. And the Ramban says they knew this. So therefore they viewed themselves as being safe. You know, we've got nothing to worry about. Sichon Ve'og is Sichon Ve'og, but what have we got to worry about? But Bolok understood that there is a danger. Vayogo Moyov Bnei Om Moed Kiravu, Vayokos Moyov Bnei Bnei Yisrael, Vayoyim Moyov Ziknei Midyon. Ato Yelachachu Akol Es Kol Sevi Moiseinu, Kilchoy Chashoyer Es Yerak Hasode. The Pasuk uses an interesting analogy, that the Klal Yisrael will devour, like the ox devours the vegetables from the field, Es Yerak Hasode. Rashi makes a comment, Kol Ma Shehashoy Melachich, whatever a shoyer swallows up, Eimbo Simon Bracha. It's not good news. And the Farshim explains to Zohar, says, because when a shoyer takes something, he doesn't just nibble from the top, he uproots the whole thing. So Kol Ma Shehashoy Melachich, Eimbo Simon Bracha. It's very difficult to understand, because you know, if a shoyer devours the whole vegetable, then there's nothing left of the vegetable. Eimbo Simon Bracha. It seems like the classic English understatement, you know, where whatever the shoyer devours, there's no Simon Bracha. It doesn't exist. Eimbo Simon Bracha doesn't exist anymore. What does it actually mean, Eimbo Simon Bracha? Why does it actually express it in such a way? Mefarshim explains, the Ben Yosef explains, with an original pshat in Rashi, he says, explains with the Gemara in the Shabbos. The Gemara says in the Shabbos, Daf Kuf Mem, the halacha is that you are allowed, if you place food in a trough in front of an animal, in front of an ass, a donkey, you can, and the donkey decides not to eat it, then it's not muksa, you can transfer it, you can give it, you can put it over in front of an ox. But if the food has been placed in a trough in front of the ox, then you can't transfer it and give it to an ass. So what difference does it make? So the Gemara says, because when a shoyer eats, or even if a shoyer doesn't eat, in this case he didn't eat, but it's isperiri, the shoyer, I can't demonstrate, but the shoyer, it slobbers over it, whatever, it's not roi lachina, even the ass wouldn't eat it, it seems. It's not roi, it's certainly not roi, even if it's not roi lachina, it's odd on. What's been in front of an ass Even if the ass doesn't eat it, it's roi lachila. If you, as long as, I suppose, as long as you don't know it's been in front of an ass. But if it's been in front of an ox, since the ox is matl bariri, it's mos. Even they know the food is there, but no one would touch it. Therefore, you can't remove the food from in front of the ox and put it in front of the ass. Says the Ber Yosef, he says, Mayav thought they were impregnable because they, the Hakadosh Baruch Hu said, "Al Totzer es Mayav," they were not allowed. They weren't allowed to be touched by Klal Yisrael. And I, Sichem Veik, have been conquered. So what? Sichem Veik, but that doesn't affect us. So Balak said, "Vaya Balak." Balak understood. It's not so simple. You know, if you're surrounded by a hostile nation, all your landlocked, and the Sichem Veik be conquered by Klal Yisrael, even if they don't actually conquer you, but you're not in a very secure situation. You know, they can impose their will upon you, and they can make you pay this and pay that. Even if they don't actually conquer you, it's Kilchay Chasheres Yerek Asada, like the Shere, even if he doesn't eat up the food, or they drools over it, and therefore it's not Roy Lachila. So also, but Balak understood. It's Kilchay, but Mayav was sort of celebrating Sichem Veik of God, and fine, we're okay. Balak said, "Vaya Balak." There's more to it than meets the eye, says Balak. He called a meeting and he said, "Listen, Rabbi Yisai, this is no, it's not good news," because that they all said, "No, but it's fine, we're safe." He said, "No, we're not safe. Because even though they can't physically invade and take over our country, but we'll still be surrounded on all sides, and the client's all taken over Sichem Veik, and it's Kilchay Chashay Sierra Kasada, they can impose their will, they can impose taxes and all the rest of it, and therefore it's not good news." Therefore, this is the shtickle Torah which Balak said, "Vayah Balak," and the rest of Moab hadn't appreciated this. The Vayah Balak. Balak had a certain degree of perception which was lacking amongst the rest of his nation. So Vayah Balak ben Tzipor is Kolash Ossi Yisrael, and he called him, he did Vayogah Moab, and he told them the situation, this is how it is. Vayogah Moab, and Moab were afraid. This is what Balak saw, which others didn't see. So the question is, that fine, so we've established the Vayah doesn't mean he physically saw. Vayah means he perceived, he understood. But surely the correct word to give over this is Vayishma Yisrael. Mashmua Shoma Bal Kriyas Yashul Mechemes Amalek. Yisrael came. He doesn't say Vayah because he wasn't there. But he heard about it. And he heard about it. He realized the significance and he came. So why here does the Torah, when the Torah also, as Rashi explains the Vayah doesn't mean he physically saw. Vayah means he understood and he perceived. Why did the Torah here use the expression of Vayah? And in Yisrael, the Torah uses the expression of Vayishma. What's the name of Vayishma Vayah? This is what we have. So Mephoshim asks this question. What's the pshat? Demas. Balak decided that something needs to be done about Moav, about Klal Yisrael. So, what do we do? Klal Yisrael are victorious, they're successful, they're on a high. So what do we do with Klal Yisrael? The Pasuk says, Vayogo Moyov Mipnei Ha'om Oid Kiravu. Balak decided the success of Klal Yisrael is because Kirav. Because they're many, you know, you can't, I don't know how many people lived in Moyov at the time, but they're Kiravu, they've got many more fighting people and soldiers, and they're stronger. We can't, militarily, we have no hope of overcoming them. Therefore, as Rashi brings, Vayishlach, Malachim el Bilam, and he asked them what was the man that their god was Nisgadol in Midian, in Koyach el Bepeh, he said, that's his Koyach. So we have to combat like with like. If their Koyach is with Peh, then we have to get someone who can combat him, and we'll call Bilam. That's how Balak interpreted the success of Klal Yisrael, and he hoped to bypass the success and attack them using Bilam. That was his secret weapon, using Bilam. However, he got it all wrong. Pasuk says, in Pashas, if we look at the Psukim in Pashas Chukas, how were Klal Yisrael successful against Sichem Veik? What strategy did they use? Pasuk says like this. Yeah. So the clients all came, Aishlach Yisrael, Malach and Asicha, Melech HaMeiri, Lamer, they sent messages, we want to pass through your land. Lainosan, Sichain, Esol, Avoy, Bigvuloi. And the Apostle, Vayesev, Sichain, Eskola, Amoy, Vayetze, Likras Yisrael, Hamidboro. Sichain mobilized his army, and they went out to meet clients, Hamidboro, Vayovoy, Yotzov, Vayilochem, Bisol. That was the scenario. Sichain hears clients don't want to come, he doesn't want to let them, he mobilizes force, off they go to the border to meet clients. Vayakeu, Yisrael, Lefi, Chorev, that was it, they overcame them in battle. Comes Rashi. Says right, Rashi makes the following comment, probably from Chazal. Vayetze likras Yisrael. Ilu hoysa Cheshbon Meleah Yitushin. Cheshbon is the capital city of Sichain. If Sichain, if Cheshbon would have been even defended by flies, ain't called Beria Chayin Cheshbon was an impregnable fortress. It was a very strongly fortified city. Even if weaklings would inhabit it, all you had to do was stand there and pour boiling water over the top, whatever. You could sit tight. V'im hoya Sichain b'kfar cholosh, and Sichain himself, even if you'd be in a poorly defended city, ei kol adam yachol lechapshe, no one would be able to conquer it, because Sichain himself is strong. V'kosh k'dashoy b'cheshbon. So really, Sichain has got nothing to worry about, and being where he is in Cheshbon, he doesn't have to worry about, he should have sat tight. Om HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ma'ani matriach al bonai, kol zeis losu ha'kolei ve'e. Why should I? It's going to be very difficult to dislodge Sichain for Christ, or they'll be able to do it, but it's a big tircha. If Sichain will sit tight, they'll have to go besiege every town, it's wearing down process, conquering every town. He put it into the mind of all the generals, the leaders, to leave their cities. They brought all the armies together, all the armies from all the cities from of Sichain's country. And then Klaisol, once they defeated the armies, the cities were defenseless. So Klaisol just marched in. Vein obed lenegdos. So Rashi says, Sichain committed several cardinal errors. Firstly, he had no need to go out to attack. He could have sat tight. Secondly, even he felt the need to go to attack. So why you don't put all your forces in one place? I mean, I'm not a general, but everybody knows. You have to put some in the flank, some in the... You don't put all your eggs in one basket. And here he committed two cardinal errors. This Sichain was a seasoned campaigner. It wasn't his first battle. And he committed two unbelievable errors for someone of his experience to do such a thing. How come? It's Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He did a stupid thing, and absolutely, and he paid for it with the loss of his country, loss of his life, power, with the loss of his life as well. Fazil Chenvach used to say, he said, we see many times, students of history will know, I'm not a student of history, but students of history will know that looking through the history of Klal Yisrael, you can see several examples of such a thing. Where, oh my God, the tables are turned in such an unimaginable way. For example, he told me this many years ago, I think he told me it was the 50th anniversary of D-Day, this time of year, 1994 I think. And so he told me, read at the time, there's a disagreement amongst historians, or discussion amongst historians, that when did Hitler begin to lose the war? At what point could you say, at the beginning he was very successful, blitzkrieg all over Europe, and then the tables turned. If we were to pinpoint one moment during those 6 years, from 1939 to 1945, at what point could it be said that this was the turning point? Some people say it was D-Day, the landings, or some people say the Battle of El Alamein in North Africa, or Stalingrad, whatever, the various opinions. So he said, he read, and this seems to be an accepted opinion, that the turning point was as follows. So everyone knows, after the fall of France in 1940, then Hitler was prepared to invade this country. And the strategy apparently wasn't around at the time, which some people were, but I wasn't. So apparently the strategy of Hitler Mashmoy at the time was that Britain is an island, and we have to destroy, and they'll defend us with their air force, we have to destroy the air force. And therefore, he sent over the Luftwaffe to bomb the airstrips and destroy the planes on the ground. And if they destroy the airstrips, then the planes can't take off. They can just walk in. And that's what he did. He sent over waves and waves of bombers. I think it was July and September, whatever, July or perhaps it was earlier, July 1940, whatever, somewhere around there, and bombed the airstrips. And this came in with such great pressure, with such great numbers, that even though they managed to repair the airstrips and repair the planes, but they couldn't keep up, and it was a war of attrition, and gradually was wearing them down. One day, for some reason or other, Churchill got up in the morning and he said, we're going to bomb Berlin. Today we're going to bomb Berlin. He calls up, yep, fact. So they sent over bombers and they bombed Berlin. I don't know what they did, but they bombed Berlin. They did something. Hitler heard about it. He said, they bomb Berlin? Forget about it, we're going for London. And that's when he started the Blitz. We're off to London. And he went for London and he bombed London and lost the war. Because he was on the point of victory, of wearing down the RAF to the degree there would be nothing left of it, and he was gradually making ground, but his cupboard had been touched, you know, they bombed it, we're going for London, and there he lost the war. Oh, my goodness, Baruch Hu. Mani matriach al bonai. He committed a cardinal error, paid for it 5 years later. That was the beginning of the end. In 1940 was the beginning of the end. As far as winning the war was concerned, and Nebuchadnezzar, many, many people suffered, but as far as the strategy of the war was concerned, that was the beginning of the end. Is Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu. So Be'emes, in reality, Bollock completely misread the situation. Bollock was Vaya Bollock. He thought, he understood that he could, you know, he was more perceptive than everyone else, because everyone else said, you know, we're safe because our Tzotzer is Moyav, what do you have to worry about? But Bollock said, no, it's not as you think, because we're surrounded by Chalisol, Kilchei Chashe Zerah Kazada. And they said, oh yeah, he's right. Well, he sees this more than meets the eye. But he didn't see it all. Because Bollock, what did Bollock say? What made him go for Bilam? Because he put down Chalisol's success to Kirahu. Because there were many. So if the problem is Kirahu, then we'll go for Bilam, and that will bypass their superiority in numbers. But he didn't look properly, because if he would have analysed what happened, if he heard about the war, then surely he would have asked, everyone would have asked, how come Sichel, why did they lose? Why did you sit tight? The first thing everybody would ask. Why did they ask that? And the answer would have been, can't understand why, and he would have thought about it a bit more. He realized Shlekedach Siyata Dishmai is Rabbeinu Shleim. That's what, and therefore it's Rabbeinu Shleim. They're going to do. See, it's Rabbeinu Shleim. So even though Bollock may have had a degree of perception to understand that they were in danger, despite the fact that Al-Tatzah is Mayov, but he lacked the depth to understand even further that it's Rabbeinu Shleim. You can see it's Rabbeinu Shleim. You can see that there's no rational explanation for the success of Klal Yisrael in this way. That's the difference between Vayar and Vayishma. The Gemara says in Baba Kama, there's a difference if someone damages someone else and they gouge out their eye. Simoi, if he blinds a person, noifelo demeyem, you pay for the eye. Chirashoi, if someone makes someone else deaf, noifelo demeykuloi. A cheresh, even though the Chazal says summa is kemes, but it seems the physical damage to a cheresh, someone has been put, he can no longer speak here, Rahman al-Islam, is more than the physical damage to a summa. Summa noifelo demeyenoi, cheresh noifelo demeykuloi. And the message, underlying message here is, someone's lost the gift of sight from the Benishai is a terrible tragedy. But Chirshai, if someone's lost the Chush HaShmir, he can't, Chirshai, that's the whole person. Lost the Gansam Mesh. Shmir is to understand the hair. The whole das of the person is linked to the ear. Chirshai, Vaya, even though Bollock saw this more to it than meets the eye, But he didn't have the Chush HaShmir, the depth of understanding. That's the difference between Vayar and Vayishma. It doesn't say Vayishma Bollock, because Vayishma means a dehet, a fashtet. He understands. He understood. He analyzed, correctly analyzed. And he didn't correctly analyze. He made a mistake, misinterpreted. That's the difference between Bollock and Yisrael. Vayishma Yisrael. Vayishma Yisrael. Ma Shmur Shoma Ubo. And there's a Veldt's Pshat. The Veldt says the Pshat. He heard loads of things. He heard about Yisrael, Yisrael, the Esamakas, the Mon, the Be'er. Why Dafke Kriyas Yamsov Mechemes Amalek? And the Veldt says the Pshat is because Shomba Kriyas Yamsov Shomu Ami Yergoz, and the whole world had considered. Everyone was trembling. Everyone heard about Klal Yisrael. And yet, 3 weeks later, Amalek, Kevayove Amalek. Amalek was also of those nations in Canaan who were trembling. And yet, 3 weeks later, they came to fight Israel. How come? The Teretz is people's memory. They say a week is a long time in politics. A week, people forget about things. You don't tremble. You move on. You move on. You forget. So Israel realized, if I don't act upon my understanding now, then I'm going to lose my holy Cyrus. And he said, "Mashu Shamo, what made him come? I've got to come. I can't just be like, why, he could have stayed at home and be a God-fearing Jew, boy, whatever, at home." Has no, if I don't actually put it into practice, I'm going to lose it. That's a shmir, vayishma Yisrael. Vayishma, he understood, he internalized, he realized. And interestingly enough, I saw quoted, the Zohar HaKadosh says, "Ubalak ben Tzipor melech lemoyov ba'is ha'hi." Balak was at that time. What do you mean ba'is ha'hi at that time? So he says, Zohar, "Balak hayu b'bnei banov shel Yisrael." He was an enikel of Yisrael. So he's up to. He said, that's why this is the only time where the Torah quotes the name of a Goyish king with the father's name. Because apparently Tzipor with the Yichas, kids say he was an enikel of Yisrael. He was the only one of the family of Yisrael who wasn't Mizgaya together with Yisrael. You know why? It's like a bolak leshitosoi. Because to become a ger, that required the chush hashmir, vayishma Yisrael, he understood. But bolak was a superficial person, vayah bolak. He wasn't a vayishma person. He was a vayah person. And therefore he didn't see the need. So why not? Why'd have to come again? So you can be a good God-fearing person without becoming a ger. Don't become a ger. Because he was a vayah person, as we can see from the whole, from the way he behaved, from the way he misinterpreted and miscalculated. That's the difference between vayishma Yisrael and vayah bolok. So vayah, even though it may be he perceived, but he didn't see it properly. There's more to meet the eye, but he didn't see it. He didn't realize it. He didn't internalize it. So what we have to ask ourselves is, what is it that we see? There's a vayishma person, you can be a vayah person, you can be someone with a depth of understanding to analyze, see the Rebbeinu Shlom. Do vayah superficially, just takes things superficially on face value. What does it take to be a vayishma person rather than a vayah? We all hope and aspire to be vayishma people. We should understand that we shouldn't take things superficially in all aspects of life. You know, we don't want to be fooled by anyone. You know, it's not just b'don l'chamein or l'mokim, whatever, in business, whatever. Vayah is a very dangerous thing, and if you just take things, what everyone says at face value, you have to use your seichel, you have to use your cop, you have to analyze. So does it come with the genes, or does it come with, how does a person gain this middah of being a vayishma person? Chazal say, "Lo sasuru achrei levavchem ba'achrei nechem." 2 weeks ago we had Pasha Shlach Lecha. Lo sasuru achrei levavchem ba'achrei nechem. Achrei levavchem zu minus apikosus. Don't stray after your heart, which is apikosus. Ba'achrei nechem zu zunus. Immorality. Lo sasuru achrei levavchem ba'achrei nechem. And Rabbi Chon Vassaman, Chayin Levrach Efekt HaKasha, says, "Lo sasuru achrei levavchem." Don't follow your heart to become an apikosus. An apikoyos is not a talk, it's not to do with the heart, it's to do with the seichel. It's got a krumah kot. So he thinks that we all came from monkeys or whatever. So that's why he's worked it out. It can't be. And that's why he's worked it out. So he's went to apikoyos, become an apikoyos. It's not to do with levavchem, it should be the surah roshechem. Don't follow, you've got to look at things rationally. Don't be irrational. Think it through properly. That's nothing to do with the lave. So Dr. Bukhan, and the pshat is azay. Chazal say, "Lo avdu Yisrael avodazara." Whenever during history Klal Yisrael stooped and fell to the level of Avodah Zarah, it was only in order to do to commit adult, to commit arayis, to indulge in promiscuity. It was for no other reason. That means Chazal are telling us that there's no such thing, as Rabbi Chon explains, there's no such thing as an apikoyos, intellectually, there's no way a person can believe in Avodah Zarah. There's no way. It doesn't make sense. It's not make, even though Chazal say that there used to be a Yisara for Avodah Zarah, now the Moshe took away the Yisara for Avodah Zarah. But nevertheless, intellectually, there's no such thing. So how did a person come to worship Avodah Zarah? How did a person come to believe in all sorts of Mishigas which abound in the world? Perhaps the person has decided for themselves to follow a certain lifestyle, which, for example, the Torah does not permit. So the negia of the person says, the person looks for something which will permit it. His negia clouds his worldview. Since he wants to live the way he wants to live, and the Torah doesn't permit it, so he says, it's all subconscious. It doesn't mean it's a conscious decision. But subconsciously, since he knows he has his ritzenus and his tivus, I mean, he wants to live the way he wants to live, and that clouds his vision, and it clouds his intellect, and it's for Krumka Seichel, it mainly comes out with the Ben Avodah Zarah. You can believe in all sorts of things. Le'avdu Yisrael Avodah Zarah, Ela Kedei Lahata Arayis Tvayis. That's why they say Avodah Zarah. No, for no other reason. It says, Zabachon Le'sasur Achei Levadchem. You shouldn't follow your hearts, because that's minus. Because the minus comes with the heart, it doesn't come with the seichel. It comes with what you want. A person's negir, that's what drives a person to apikorsis, for no other reason. That's taka the pshat. Chazal say, ayin roya, v'leiv chaymed, and the guf carried out, ayin roya, it starts with the ayin roya. So the veltrek takasha, it should say, loisuru achrei neichem v'achrei levavchem. If it starts with the ayin roya, then it should start, no, the pshat is, the fizeh. No, the eye sees, but the eye sees what the heart wants it to see. A person analyzes and internalizes and understands and rationalizes the fi according to what I want to do. And it's not only when it comes to apikorsis, it's with everything in life. But a person is bound by his negir. Odom korav es latzma, you see what you want to see. When a person has a negir, this blinds him. The old gate of Rav Zechayin Levracha told me, and I read this story in the Sefer of Rav Shlomo Lawrence in his memoirs. He writes that Rav Blazer Plakshinsky Zechayin Levracha was once walking with the Chazanish, and they were discussing something, somebody, whatever, and he saw the Chazanish, they were talking about somebody and something, whatever, and the Chazanish didn't seem to have a haracha, a recognition, a respect for a certain Talmud Chacham, whoever it was. In the discussion, it was like discounted. He wasn't misyachas to him at all. So I think it was Blazer Plakshinsky. He asked the Chassid's Rebbe. He says this, or he does this. You can't kenesh alekmachin. You can't discount it so quickly. So the Chazanish said to him, this person, obviously said in Latin, this is a negeya b'dova. He acts with a negeya, so therefore I don't consider him to be someone whose opinion is worthy of considering. So he said, Rebbe, everyone's got chesoinus. This one's a balkas, this one's a balgai, so his chesoron is chesoron for negeya. He acts with a negeya. Fine, okay, so he's not perfect. No one's perfect. Who's perfect? Everyone's got chesoron. So the Chazanish said, the psul of negeyas is a psul different to all other psalms. Someone's about cast. Okay, so when is it? When he's in cast, is he tap? When he's not in cast, he's a nice cap. He just got to be careful to keep the right side of him. But otherwise, it's okay. So it comes to the psul of negius, a person who acts out of self-interest. That means he can't divorce himself, his tzairach, what he wants, from whatever it is. He can't look objectively, only subjectively. So he says, when he does chesed, it's always subject. It's good for me. And when he does, when he learns, it's all for me. He is the type of person who can't stand back and do things lishma or do things only for the sake of the other person. It's all the zayin zich kriecht arayin. His rots, his ego always comes in. And he can't separate himself from this matter at hand. Therefore, negir is not just a one. It's not like a psul, a zaitik psul, like kas or gaiva or taiva or kin or whatever. This is something which permeates the whole person. The inability to divorce oneself from what I want and look at things objectively. This is what the Chazanish said, and this is what Chazal are telling us. Because it's this inability of a person to stand back and to accept things, look objectively, this is what clouds his vision, for this comes out of apikorsis. The lev, the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, shuraina de'ena be'uvna de'libatali. The veins of the eye are connected to the heart. And the Gemara says that in a medical sense, that the certain things are mutter, refu on Shabbos is also certain refuahs, but when it affects the eye, they're a different dinim, they're more kuladika dinim, because the eye is more basic, it's connected to the heart. Tosis there adds on, he says, Re'iyasu einayim, says Tosis, Yesh Mepharshim, Yitolib Bahavonas Halev. The Re'iyasu einayim, it's not just in a physical sense, it means that if these two things are connected, that the Re'iyasu einayim is Tolib Bahavonas Halev, that what the person understands, his worldview, affects and clouds his Re'iyasu einayim. And therefore, if we were to ask ourselves, What? Let's look at Balak. Why didn't Balak see what was obvious to be seen, that Ubershim won the war for Klal Yisrael? Because how come Sichem went out of all the cities, etc.? The answer is because Balak has gotten, had an agenda. Balak didn't become a ger. He didn't accept to become a ger. I mean, he had decided, whatever reason, that his lifestyle the Torah doesn't jive with his lifestyle. He doesn't want to live this lifestyle, and therefore he didn't want to accept the banishment. Maybe when he's vayah balak, all sorts of reasons, all sorts of explanations and excuses why he was sent, but not the real one. Because when you have when a person has an agenda, he sees things that lefi his agenda. He doesn't see the emes. The only way a person, you might say, how can a person know that a person does have to make decisions? So how can a person know whether his decision is based, is governed by his negiah, whether it's emes of decision? So the Rebbe says, a very, very telling word, he says, everyone knows. Deep down, a person knows. A person knows whether I'm acting out of, am I looking objectively or subjectively? A person is honest with themselves, they know. The famous story, Talmud from Volozhin Yeshiva, Talmud Reb Chaim Biska in Volozhin, after a time left Yeshiva and he went off. So Reb Chaim met him some time later. He said, Rebbe, I've got many questions to ask you. Ready? He said, fine, I'll ask you all your questions, but let me ask you one question first. When did you get your questions? After you changed your lifestyle, or while you were in Yeshiva? He said, no, I'll be honest with you. He said, only once I changed my lifestyle, I had all these sorts of questions. So Reb Chaim said, if your questions are not questions, your questions are answers. You come with a preconceived notion. You know, you want to live the way you live. I can answer a question, I can't answer an answer. That's the difference with a person who's governed by negiah. They should help to have to be Vayishma people, and not Vayah people, till we hear the footsteps of Mashiach. Amen.